something completely different.
Good morning and welcome on the Saturday morning to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis, where the dogs are on leashes and people are cautioned for the sake of the children, not because of the children.
So the Youngblood has nothing to do with leeches then?
No,
no leeches involved in
Youngblood. No, definitely not. No, no.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. And this is the eve.
We said it already.
Did we say it?
I think so. I think I said it.
Well, all right. We'll say it one more time, just in case.
Wrestling with the basics.
Oh, and a fanfare.
A little fanfare. Might as well.
Yeah. And so here's what I'm thinking. This is actually the eve of Pentecost, and I wonder how many people realize. You know, you think there's going to be a lot of Pentecost Eve services tonight?
A lot of kids that can't sleep tonight because tomorrow's Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. It's hard to fall asleep because of the anticipation.
So here's my thought. I know I probably should have said this earlier. It's a little late now, but we might as well get started this year. Get ready, get prepared. I think we need to commercialize Pentecost. You know what I'm saying? We've commercialized Christmas. We've commercialized Easter. And so the fact is, people know when it's Christmas.
Yeah.
There are Christmas Eve services. People know when it's Easter. Kids do get excited to wake up and to see the eggs that the Easter bunny is hidden and bite the ears off of the chocolate bunnies.
Yeah.
We need to be doing something for Pentecost, because Pentecost comes and goes. Most people won't even know it was Pentecost.
So I'm thinking that the people from Dove Chocolate might be the ones for us to talk to. Because we've got the Dove, you know, that symbol of the Holy Spirit. So let's start there.
Yeah.
It's a win for them. Maybe it's a win for us.
All right. Let me make a note. So we need to contact Dove Chocolate. That'd be a good place to begin.
Well, we'll start there.
We need to talk to Hallmark.
Okay.
I think we could use some Pentecost cards, don't you?
Sure, sure.
In fact, wouldn't you love to get a card from your dog for Pentecost?
From Pentecost? I still don't get that, but
I don't know either. But yeah, I'm thinking we
just
might
have hamsters.
As well. Yeah. Well, then
get
again,
a card from our hamster.
Get a card from
really
the
little
hamster.
Cards.
That's right, teeny tiny.
Or fireworks. You know, we've got the fires, tongues of fire.
Oh,
something fire related.
Oh, cool. That would be awesome because everyone loves fireworks.
Well, sure, yeah.
And so the firework people, they would love that too. They get other than just July 4th, you could get a little bit of that stuff sold in May already.
Sure.
All right. So if you're listening out there, come on, let's get on the stick here, people, because it's about time we commercialize Pentecost. You're missing an enormous opportunity. Now, this year, maybe, because it's right after Mother's Day, maybe people wouldn't be all that enthusiastic. But normally, it's way on the end of May. It's after graduations and stuff. It's a great time to have yet
another
opportunity
holiday.
To sell cards. And what would we eat? You have to have a traditional food for Pentecost. What would we eat?
What would we eat? That's a good question. Something, I don't know.
Dove?
No, that's the chocolate.
That's the chocolate.
I don't know. Something like the fire theme. We could barbecue. A good Pentecost barbecue.
Ow.
And put something on the spit, maybe.
On the spit, yes.
Anytime you can put something on the spit.
That's well, I just good. Think the barbecue idea. It's the beginning usually of summer, you know, or the end of spring. So why not? Why not? Why not have a barbecue?
Pentecost barbecue.
Talk to malls. We need to have malls. They need to have a Pentecost special. Talk to Schnucks and Deerbergs. They should have something on sale.
I'm writing this down.
Okay. All righty. Now, don't forget about it.
We have a whole year to plan for
this. That's right. So, people, please start. Anybody you know that could help us to commercialize Pentecost, talk to them now. Let's get it beginning. So, next Pentecost, we can see the Pentecost ads and stuff and all the sell flyers for the big Pentecost sales and stuff.
Make Pentecost great again. That can be our slogan.
Yes. Make Pentecost great again.
Do you people wear red for Pentecost over in New Athens and Darmstadt? You guys wear red?
Oh.
To church?
No, but we need to, don't we?
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
We do. Yeah, a lot of people do. It's kind of neat.
Oh, man. It's too late.
I even bought a red pastor shirt. Clergy shirt. It's like once a year I'm wearing my Pentecost shirt.
I have the red stole. I will have a red stole on. But
yeah, okay.
I wish I would have thought of that because it would have been fun if everybody came to church dressed in red. Oh, it's going to be great. Next Pentecost will be super. Yeah, but maybe we need to talk about this Pentecost before we go any further.
Yeah, might
you
well.
Think?
Sure.
Rather than just talking about it, maybe we should actually...
What is Pentecost actually
is
about?
Pentecost?
It's not just
exactly.
about the red shirts and the Dove chocolate, the Mall's barbecue people. Come on. There's really more to it.
You've got your sermon already for next year.
That's right.
That is tremendous.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It's
really
not just about the barbecue and the red shirts.
We will push for the commercialization so that we can remind people that it's not about the commercialization.
It's really about the coming of the Holy Spirit, isn't it, man?
That is right. Yeah.
All right.
And with that, I think we need to
all right,
play
now,
this.
There's no time for foolishness.
I think we needed that about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You want to read today, Matt? You want to read?
Sure,
I read,
I'll read.
I read last
week. Yeah, you
read
last week, and you know, you just had the cataract surgery.
And I'm still trying to recover from my eye surgery, yeah.
Okay, good. So we're in the book of Acts. Where do you want me to start?
Chapter 2,
beginning with verse 1. Okay. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together.
So they already knew it was Pentecost?
Yeah, what's the deal? I was just going to ask you about this. How did they know that this was going to be Pentecost?
Well, it turns out that was actually a harvest festival, wasn't it?
Yeah, so this is an Old Testament thing.
Yeah.
Something that was recognized, celebrated.
And like Jesus, you know, he gets in there and he changes everything. So we had the Passover. Oh, no. We got to do different now. Now we're going to be eating and drinking blood. We were told not to drink blood. But now you do eat the bread and the body and you do drink the wine, which is the blood.
Yeah.
And now he's going to do the same thing with Pentecost. He's going to change that Jewish holiday all
around.
Yeah,
so too. Pentecost, you know, meaning 50, you know, five, yep. like the Pentagon has five sides and 50 days after the Passover.
Yes.
And so we're...
Which also happens to be 50 days after Jesus. Resurrection.
Exactly.
Yeah, worked out nice that way.
Yeah. No coincidence. God has a plan here.
Oh, thank you. No, seriously, we're not making fun of that. It is. It's all planned out. God had this all figured out when he was doing this stuff in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. He knew it was all going to foreshadow. Isn't that what Paul says? You don't need the Sabbath anymore. It was only a shadow.
Of the things to come. Yeah, of Christ. Exactly.
So we don't need a harvest festival 50 days after the Passover because it was only a shadow of the Holy Spirit coming.
Yes.
So, all right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's good. They were okay. So they're all together in one place. And then in verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And of course, the thing that I always like about this is we forget about this. So Jesus is now, it's been 10 days since he ascended into heaven.
Yes, yeah. Ascension's 40 days after Easter. Yeah. I was on a Thursday.
Yeah. And it tickles me. If you're a disciple, you're probably wondering what's going on. Because when he left, he said, I will send you power from on high. And of course, the next Sabbath day rolls around, no power from on high. You know, nothing's happened. In fact, a whole week goes by. I would think after a week, right, oh, now it's going to happen. No. It's been a week since he ascended. Still nothing's happened. But finally, when the Feast of the Pentecost, things begin to take place. All of these signs so that they know, yep, finally Jesus is keeping his promise. But I do think it's important for us to learn, too, that sometimes he delays a little bit. Sometimes he doesn't do things right away. Doesn't mean he's not going to do them. Just that's how he does. He sometimes delays. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, Peter tells us. Yeah, God's not slow. He's patient. Peter says. So.
It's God's good time. Anyway, I think of the ascension that you brought up there. Jesus goes up and he's hidden by the clouds and then just kind of like looking up into the heavens and then takes the angels to come and say, what are you doing standing around? You know, get going. So
getting the roof of their mouth sunburned.
Yeah. That's the picture we have. And, you know, we have all those different promises leading up, you know, the Sundays leading up to ascension. We have all these different promises and of I will send the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's good that I'm
leaving
because, you know, the helper is coming, you know, the Holy Spirit. And here we have that fulfillment finally.
Now I got a tough question for you. So I'm a disciple every day. I'm going down to the temple. I think that's where this is probably taking place is in the temple. And I'm waiting for the power from on high. And I'm thinking, do you have the power from on high, Matt? Have you? I don't think I've got it. I don't know what. And then all of a sudden, of course, now it's obvious. It's obvious that we got the power from on high. All kinds of crazy things are happening. But do you think we need that stuff today? Do we need these kind of signs today to know that we've got the power from on high?
Oh, the rushing wind and the sound from heaven and the tongues of fire?
Yeah, I think we need that stuff so that you and I know we've got the power from on high.
It would sure sell more chocolate in Mall's Barbecue if we if we're talking commercialization here.
It would be good for the commercialization, wouldn't it?
But these outward visible things, no. Instead, we have God's promise, which is even better. And so we have baptism, water, and the word. Nothing too flashy about that. Water is about as common as it gets.
Yeah.
But yet, through that common, ordinary means, God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. God makes us his forgiven child. God still does his work.
He still gives us the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
But not in this particular way. So, last week we talked about descriptive and prescriptive things. And here we go again. Yeah. This is certainly descriptive of that first day of Pentecost, and thanks be to God for it. But it's really not prescriptive in that we should be looking for this for us. That, there needs to be the tongues of fire. There needs to be speaking in different languages. There needs to be these things happening so we really have the Holy Spirit. God chose that to do that for the disciples. But he doesn't do it in the exact same way for us. Still gives the Holy Spirit, but just in a different means.
And in fact, Matt, it just occurred to me, there's any number of instances where the Spirit comes, and this is the only reference I know of where there's a mighty wind and all of that stuff, tongues of fire in people's heads.
Yeah.
By very definition, this is unique to the very first coming of Pentecost. And I think what people forget is it's not like the Holy Spirit wants to be flashy. He's not doing these things to show off, say, hey, look at me, I can make the sound of a mighty wind. No, actually, all of this has a practical purpose. There's a purpose behind the things that are being done here, because what we have is we have a group of people gathered together in the temple. They're celebrating this great festival. But what people don't understand is the temple's a big place. It's like going down to the Edward Jones Stadium. There's all kinds of little porticos, all kinds of little places. I guess you could get hot dogs and popcorn. I'm not sure what they were doing. I'm talking about the stadium. I'm not sure what it's like in the temple. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everyone's spread all over the place. It's not like we got to get them all in one place. That's what we got to do, because we're going to show them something. So wouldn't a sound like a mighty wind, like an earthquake, like a train, wouldn't that draw your attention? If there was a big bang, wouldn't you and I get up right now and want to go out and see what's going on? So we got that. It's very, very practical. But now we got everybody together. The problem is, how do we indicate who these special people are? Because there's special people here we want their attention focused on. We got the big crowd, but we want to focus on these 12 apostles, or I guess 11. Do we have the 12th one? We have the 12th one at this point, don't we?
Matthias?
Yeah, that got done in chapter 1, didn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So we need to focus. So what a better way to then put tongues of fire on them? Wouldn't that catch your attention?
Yeah, that would take my attention.
Look at those guys over there. By the way, where do you think the tongues were at, Matt? Where do you think the tongues were at?
Well, I think I know where you think they were.
I know. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
But, we're not told. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. But we can kind of speculate and think, maybe the tongue, in artwork, it's usually on top of their heads.
That's
right. And it rested on them. And
is that what happened to your hair, Matt?
That's right. Got singed.
Singed by the tongues of fire.
I think this is where you're headed with this.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this before, but maybe the tongues were coming out of their mouths even.
Well, they are tongues.
That's what you were thinking,
they are
right?
Tongues.
That's
what I was thinking. But again, see, that's the crucial thing as we read on. This tongues, which is a big deal in the church nowadays. Oh, you got to speak in tongues. Yeah. And what we fail to see is the word there in the Greek actually is languages.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that they were speaking gibberish. That didn't draw people's attention. But as we'll see, no, they could speak in the many, many languages of the people that were gathered there in the temple, which was quite an accomplishment because probably not everyone spoke Hebrew. I mean, a lot of them probably did, but a lot of them, they were coming from all over the world for this Pentecost celebration, and it was God's way of saying, hey, we're going to talk to all of you. The message I have is for all of you, no matter where you're from, because after all, that was the commandment, wasn't it? Go and make disciples of all nations.
So really what you're saying is everything that we're seeing, that we're hearing here is really for a purpose.
Yeah.
The sound, the tongues of fire, the different languages, they all have a purpose behind it. It's not just for the sake of the show, but no, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point, too. You know, when we look at today, you know, we don't need to look for the tongues of fire. We don't have to look for evidence of the Spirit through speaking in tongues or different utterances. No, that's not the indication of the Holy Spirit. No. But in this case, God uses those certain things for a purpose.
And I'm glad you raised that, because then I guess the question we want to answer in the next 10 minutes is, so what are the signs that the Spirit is there? Okay? I mean, the Spirit could do these things. We're not denying it. Mm-hmm. This was the first time, but it's not that he wants to be flashy. It's practical. But what are the things that we should expect the Spirit to do in our lives today? So you want to keep reading?
Sure.
Yeah, you gave me all the big names.
No,
I got the big names last week, but now, that's right. Now, turnabout's fair play.
Here we go. All right. Verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, like you said, there for this festival of the Pentecost. Very convenient. God has a plan, it looks like. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine.
And again, you know, and I think it's so clear here in the scripture, because I know there's a lot of people out there claiming that they speak in tongues, quote unquote. But what's striking about this is these were all understandable languages. This was not heard as gibberish. Well, it was heard apparently by some unbelievers as gibberish, mm-hmm. wasn't it? But for those who had the Holy Spirit, no, they understood. These were all languages, German, English, French, Chinese, whatever, and they all heard them in their own languages. Anything that you've got about that.
Yeah, and what's in there, and they're proclaiming the mighty works of God.
Yeah.
So they're not bringing attention to themselves. They're bringing attention to God.
That's where the focus is. Yeah,
that's
and again,
focus.
So it's not, oh, look at all the spectacular signs, but it's what they're saying. That's what's significant. It's not that, okay.
It's the word.
It's the word. Thank you. I haven't got anything else, except I've always thought it'd be neat if I could start a sermon by saying, I'm not drunk.
I'm not drunk. You just
think I am. Oh, that's coming up. I'm sorry. That's coming up. Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine there's many people that listen to our show and say, they're filled with new wine.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. We get that a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's only the ninth hour of the day or the third hour of the day. What? That's
that's coming up.
That's about
start
9 o'clock,
14.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's about the time our show's on.
Bars are, that's right. That's exactly right. The bars aren't open, people. Come on.
But Peter, standing along with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel.
Can I call an audible here?
Yeah,
Matt,
sure.
For time's sake, can you just read the last verse of Joel? Because I think that's the crucial part.
Sure, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And of course, Joel also talks about, I will pour out my spirit and all that. But of course, that's the point. He pours out the spirit so that people can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Any comment about that, Matt?
No, go ahead.
All right, let's keep on reading then.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that the God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was impossible for him to be held by it.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you midstream there again, because we said we wanted to talk about what are the things then that would be the sign that the Spirit is alive and well and present. And to me, Matt, that's the key thing right there, that whoever's doing the talking is talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're not talking about Jesus, then I doubt that the Holy Spirit is present. In fact, if all they do is talk about the Holy Spirit, I would have to wonder if it's the real Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in the room, he always wants to talk about Jesus. He spends all his time. In fact, basically, we're just doing the Apostles' Creed here, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Second article, all about Jesus, suffered, died, rose again. Yeah, yeah. So people, let that be your test. If you're listening to a preacher or a teacher, here's the way to know whether they have the true spirit. Because there are false spirits. John talks about it, doesn't he? So ask yourself, is he giving us the goods about Jesus Christ? And God, hope and pray that for Matt and I, we'll always be doing that. A little goofiness, too. But I hope that the main thing you hear on our show is always about Jesus, who is your Savior. You
know? Amen.
Any other comments about that?
It's really sort of the first sermon of the early Christian church. Yeah. And here it is preached by the Apostle Peter. And if you're going to preach on the Holy Spirit, you think, well, the day of the Pentecost is the day to do it. You know, let's talk, have some Holy Spirit talk, Peter. But no, it's like you pointed out, it's all focused on Jesus, him crucified and risen. So exactly that. If you want to know if the Spirit's present or not, it's not the tongues of fire. It's not the sounds of the rushing wind. It's Jesus. Is Jesus being proclaimed?
And again, for time's sake, because we could probably spend a whole month doing this story, but maybe we should cut to the end of the sermon, Matt, with verse 36.
Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified.
So there it is. That's the point of a spirit-driven sermon, is that you might know that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. And in this particular point, this is a sermon of law, isn't it, Matt? Because guess what? You crucified him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting. So what did the people do? Well, they crucified him. What did God do? God raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? You know, that the Easter and the Lord's resurrection, that is the clear work of God.
And what, read the next one, because here's what's neat. Because I would think, if I raised up my son and I'm talking to the people now who killed him, so the people brought death. That's a great insight, Matt. They brought death. God brings resurrection. I would think I'd be a little upset with the people that brought death, but read this beautiful promise here and we'll wrap up the
show. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. So the law did its work. They were cut to the heart. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this, the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Yeah. And I think it's really neat. He doesn't say go out and speak in tongues, go out and do miracles and wonders. He just says go out and be baptized. Repentance, believing in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, promises unto you and your children, by the way. Yeah. Please note, not just for the grown-ups out there, but for everyone. And so I would suggest these are the evidences that you got the Spirit present when the Spirit's calling you to do those kind of things, the same thing he called people to do here on the day of Pentecost. So I don't know, any other thoughts, Matt?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you. I think that's probably prescriptive for us, our children.
There you go.
For us who are far off.
Thank you. That's a nice thought. There are a lot of descriptive things here, but that's the plain exhortation of God to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that neat, Matt?
Yeah.
And these are the very people that killed his son. But then again, that's what Jesus had prayed, wasn't it? He said, Father, forgive them. And so God says, I'll answer your prayer. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to bring these people my word, my baptism, my forgiveness in the name of my son, Jesus.